NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Liberia's former President Charles Taylor has been sentenced to 50 years in prison for aiding and abetting rebels in Sierra Leone who slaughtered thousands of people during that country's civil war. Terry Schultz reports Taylor is the first former head of state to be convicted by an international war crimes court since the Nuremberg trials after World War II.
The special UN court's presiding judge Richard Lusick says this trial marks a new era of accountability. Though Taylor had been convicted of planning, aiding, and abetting crimes against humanity, not actually committing the acts himself, Lusick said the betrayal of public trust and abuse of power outweighed any mitigating circumstances. The judge said Taylor had contributed to some of the most heinous acts in human history.
Innocent civilians burned to death in their homes or brutally killed by maiming and torture. The amputation of limbs was a hallmark of terror and cruelty.
The prosecution had asked for the maximum sentence of 80 years. Capital punishment or life in prison are not allowable sentences. Both sides have 2 weeks to file an appeal, and Taylor is expected to do so. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
Britain's Supreme Court has ruled against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who was seeking to block extradition to Sweden to face allegations of sex crimes. The BBC's Tom Brain says the court is giving Assange's attorneys time to appeal the ruling.
Lawyers for Mr. Assange had claimed the request to extradite him was invalid because it had been made by the Swedish prosecutor and not by a judge. However, by a majority of 5-2, the Supreme Court has ruled that the prosecutor did have sufficient judicial authority, clearing Mr. Assange, who wasn't in court for the judgment, to be handed over to the Swedish authorities. But in an extraordinary move, Mr. Assange's legal team said it may ask the court to reopen the case, claiming it hadn't had the opportunity to fully argue the definition of a public prosecutor. So the court has suspended extradition for another 14 days.
The BBC's Tom Brain in London. GOP candidate Mitt Romney has won enough delegates in the Texas primary to put him over the top by most counts for the number he needs to win the Republican presidential nomination this summer. Ben Philpott of member station KUT says the turnout in Texas was light.
Romney didn't visit Texas in the run-up to Tuesday's primary, but that didn't stop the presumptive nominee from getting about 70% of the vote. Romney was expected to face stiff competition in Texas back when the primary was in March and several Southern or evangelical candidates remained in the race. But he easily claimed the state after a redistricting court case pushed the primary back to the end of May, and all other candidates, including Texas Governor Rick Perry, dropped out.
The Oklahoma City area is cleaning up after severe storms swept through the region last evening. Corey Mead, forecaster with the Storm Prediction Center.
A lot of hail damage, broken windows, car damage, windows broken to houses.
Mead says more severe weather is expected this week in the Great Plains. This is NPR News. Federal officials have given another 8 states waivers from the No Child Left Behind law. Jeff Cohen of member station WNPR reports that makes 19 states that have been granted relief from the Bush-era mandates in exchange for promises to improve on how they prepare and evaluate students.
U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan was in Hartford for the announcement. He said that Connecticut, Delaware, Louisiana, Maryland, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, and Rhode Island got the nod.
Our goal with this waiver process has been a simple one. That's frankly to get out of the way whenever that's possible and to let states and districts figure out the best way to meet the educational need of their children and their communities.
Duncan says that still more states could get waivers soon. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Cohen in Hartford.
Grammy Award-winning folk musician Doc Watson has died at the age of 89 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. NPR's Tom Cole says Watson was one of the most honored and revered performers of American music.
Doc Watson was in his late 30s when he made his first recording in 1960. Blind since the age of 1, he found himself traveling alone out of the Blue Ridge Mountains to join the booming folk revival.
When I went to go to New York to work in the city, I came by Trailways bus. It was scary.
But there was no question about his talent. Watson's ability to play fiddle tunes on the guitar astounded and inspired generations of folkies. He didn't have to travel alone for long, though. His son Merle became his performing partner for 2 decades until his own death in 1985. Yet Doc Watson continued performing well into his 80s. Tom Cole, NPR News.
And I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.